Hey there, Danny Sunshine Bauer here, host of this podcast. And my mission in life is to help school leaders fight isolation and frustration via a leadership community in order to gain clarity and find solutions to their greatest challenges. If you get value from today's show, you can show some love back by subscribing to this podcast and leaving a rating and review where you're listening right now. I can serve more school leaders by having a better ranking, which is tied 100% to subscriptions, reviews, and shares on social media. In today's show, I talk with Jeff Becker, and we explore a number of interesting topics like what Jeff's 8-month-old taught him about happiness, giving students a positive voice throughout the year, and 3 tips to vastly improve your communication and influence. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. And before we jump into the episode, I'd like to take some time to thank our show sponsors. A lot of school leaders talk about improving students' soft skills to help them succeed in their rigorous coursework. The problem is that most leaders just talk about it without actually doing anything. You can improve your students' non-cognitive skills today by checking out an amazing program called Organized Binder. Learn more at organizedbinder.com. Students who participate in the Conrad Challenge don't learn to think outside the box. There is no box. Learn how innovation takes off and soars beyond the confines of a box at conradchallenge.org.
Hey, y'all. This is Gretchen from Always a Lessons Empowering Educators podcast. I'm a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts, but make sure you check out all the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com and get ready because the learning begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Jeff, so glad that you're here with me on the show. And could you describe your perfect day at work?
Yeah, absolutely. So my perfect day at work, making sure that I wake up and I don't hit my phone immediately, that I can either start my day with either some quiet time, some mindfulness, or some working out. Sometimes when I wake up, my body's just calling just to get energized through physical activity. So my perfect day would start with that. And then sitting down and actually planning and prioritizing. I like to kick it old school with just a single white piece of paper. Mm-hmm. And write down, you know, the 3 to 5 things that if I could do those 3 to 5 things, my day would be a win. Not saying that we would get to them, but I love to start with at least a fresh idea. And that kind of helps me to not get derailed as easily. Also, I need to be around students at some portion of my day, whether that's teaching them, leading them, encouraging them, or just seeing them in the hallways of a school or doing a keynote or something like that, man. And then I have to see my family. I have 2 crazy little kids. I have a crazy little redheaded 3-year-old named Sophie. And she's a little crazy miniature version of myself, and a really chubby 8-month-old named Henry, who just he doesn't ever sleep, but he's always happy, man. And that's inspiring. So it's like I always have to remind myself that I don't need to be very awake to be happy. So wow. He always reminds me of that, man. So yeah, that's my ideal day. That's a great question. I love that.
Henry's like a little Zen master teaching you life principles at 8 months old.
He is, man. It was like the Lord sent him to me. He's like, hey, you don't really need much. You don't even need to be able to walk, talk, or like go to Wawa for a sandwich to be happy.
Yeah, Wawa. So that was new to me now that I'm visiting my mom. I'm like, what is this? Like, why are they using baby language? And she's like, no, it's a thing. They have them all the way. It's not just Florida. It's all the way up the East Coast. I'm like,
yeah, man.
What is this place? So Wawa, I guess, is a gas station, if you guys have never heard of it, and convenience store type.
Well, yeah, actually, it started when I'm from New Jersey, Southern New Jersey, originally. And it was just a small corner store.
Wow.
That's all it was. And it was just like maybe like, you know, 300 square feet. And they used to make these really great sandwiches. And then now they're these like mega marts and gas stations and stuff like that. They actually never were a gas station. Us Wawa purists, we aren't so happy about that.
No. Yeah. They got into the fuel game. Not so cool, but stick with the sandwiches. So what sandwiches what are they known for sandwich wise?
Yeah, man. So it depends on which one. And again, this is showing my expertise in Wawa and sandwiches. It depends on the Wawa you go to.
That's what our show's about.
Hot roast beef with American cheese, salt and pepper. That's it.
you stay with the basics and you can't go wrong. You know, I made my family a salad the other day, and I like making everything from scratch. And so the dressing was just a quarter balsamic vinaigrette, 3/4 extra virgin olive oil, salt and pepper. Right. You don't have to get crazy.
That's it, man. Just keep it basic and execute a simplified playbook well.
So, you know, let's stay there with the simplified playbook. And we're talking about morning routine. Okay, I'm not touching my phone. I get that. And the discipline it takes there. I love the old school white sheet of paper where you're identifying those top 3 to 5 things. Can you share maybe what today's sounded like, or in the past week, what some of those goals might look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So I won't include things like email. That's just a given. I'm going to check my email twice a day. So that's not included. So for instance, I had to put together proposals, which is not my favorite thing. So I put that on there just to make sure that I drive all the way through on that one. If I want to do something intentional with and or for my wife, I'll definitely put that on there. But also prospecting, I won't. When I put my 3 to 5 things, I also like to be very specific, almost like a SMART goal. So that way I have pretty raging ADHD. So if I'm not very specific with myself, I will find a way, my crazy little brain will find a way to like weasel my way out and do something more fun or something that I can convince myself that's more productive. So for instance, prospect, reach out to maybe 5 ed leaders just to chat with them, or if I have a bigger block of time, 25. But yeah, so specifically, so like this week it was, you know, put together the 2 proposals for the keynotes. Oh, one was I'm actually writing a keynote because in 2 weeks I'm going to be in Albuquerque, New Mexico doing a keynote speech for a couple thousand students and making sure that I actually outline this talk that I'm going to be doing. And again, it's a long process. So if I don't write that down, my brain's going to find a way to do something that I think is like more fun and that takes less discipline.
Yeah. It's interesting. And so that's the morning routine. How about the end of the day? Is there an unplugging from work routine that you have? And if not, what's the challenge?
That's a great question, man. And there are, I like that you gave me the option for challenge because that is. And so as an entrepreneur, as you know, it's a lot of times you're kind of isolated, and for principals out there that are listening, that you get that same isolation as well. So, and also I'm very competitive, which I think a lot of leaders and entrepreneurs are. So
maybe just a bit.
So I'm waking up usually at about 4:45. Anybody with kids can attest to the fact that you need to wake up that early to get some quiet time sometimes. So at the end of the day, after 7 o'clock, 7:30, when we're done putting the kids in the tub and tucking them in and reading stories and stuff like that, it'll usually be about 7:30, 7:45. And I will want to then maximize that time for work just because I want to really make a big impact in this world. And I put a little healthy pressure on myself for that, you know, but I usually end up flopping, to be quite honest. And so sometimes I have to give myself a little bit more grace than I would like to about that flopping at the end of the day, because rest is arguably just as important, if not more important than a lot of things that we do.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, if anyone's listening and you're feeling kind of bad or about resting or flopping at the end of the day, you know, give yourself some grace. I like to lay down, put my laptop on my belly and just watch some Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's common. Let me offer some advice, you know, maybe you could steal it, and definitely the listeners.
Please.
And it's because it's out of my own pain and my own struggle as well. But what I've found, I'm like you, I'm very goal oriented. I'm very competitive. People come to me to coach them on productivity and getting stuff done. Like I can help you move the needle on that.
Yeah.
And part of it is just measuring it, right? So
Right. Now
what I need to do, like if I'm intentional with my calendar and I measure things, then I do them. And so on my calendar, it says wind down time. And I have 3 options that I can do. You've already mentioned mindfulness. So you can meditate, focus on your breath, that kind of thing at the end of the day. Because what I realized, you know, you're high energy, high positive energy. I'm the same way. I'm high positive or high negative energy. There's not like anywhere in the middle for me.
Right.
And when my wife would come home from work, like I'm hitting her with that high positive or high negative energy, depending on how the day went. And that could be really overwhelming for our spouse. And so for me, I just need to pause. And so I either meditate, I want to read, but I typically don't do that. I typically meditate, or I go for a walk. But I do have that third option of like reading fiction or just doing something different that's not work related to kind of start shifting gears, so to speak. And another piece, if you track it, if you measure it, it gets done. I'm going to start putting that on my productivity board. So not only am I measuring, okay, did I fill up the mastermind? Did I hit that goal? Is the audiobook out? By the time this releases, the audiobook will be out because I'm finishing recording it this week. And yeah. Then the third goal is a fitness goal. So I'm going to start within that fitness, probably putting sleep and wind down routine on there as well.
I love that, man. I appreciate that.
For sure, for sure. So tell me the story of starting Can Do You. You talked a bit about, you know, sending out proposals and wanting to interact with kids and then doing keynotes as well. So what was the story of starting that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a recovering copier salesman. So when I was out of college, I was a communication major. When I got out of college, I couldn't find a job except for a salesperson to sell business-to-business copier machines. And so I found out that I was good at speaking to people through that, but I couldn't stand it. I was making a ton of money, hated life. So I went back to the drawing board. I got my master's degree in education and I became a guidance counselor. So again, I had some cool opportunities to do some training, some classroom lessons, stuff like that. I deepened my passion, was growing for communication. And then I came to a point where I thought to myself, I was like, you know what, maybe this is what I'm here for. This is maybe how I'm supposed to really impact the world through communication. Mm-hmm. So I started studying up and reading books and joining groups and joining clubs and entering competitions. And I'm still as in love with it as I was on the first day. And this is definitely a passion. So my goal is to help students to reach their full potential. And I do that in a few ways. One is through Can Do You, which I'll talk about. But the other one is I love to pour into ed leaders as much as possible, because I think you would agree that the world becomes a better place when ed leaders get better. So if there's anything I can help them with, you know, I'm just as happy doing that. But also, Can Do You, I've been doing motivational speaking or public speaking or keynotes, whatever you want to call it, for probably the better part of the last decade. But Can Do You is kind of the brainchild that came from all of the different things that we've been doing for the last decade. So Essentially, we help busy ed leaders to create the school culture that they've always dreamed of through packages. And this is where it differs in the character education or motivational speech world. We do packages of motivational speeches, engaging videos, and leadership camps for their students. So essentially, we go out and we do a motivational speech because we believe it's super important. But by itself, I think you'd agree that it's not as impactful as it could be, you know, a motivational speech by itself. So we do a motivational speech, and then we leave really fun, really engaging leadership and success curriculum for all of the students in the school. Every student gets a login and a password for really fun, like 10-minute videos with downloadable worksheets and quizzes. It's really easy. Teachers don't have to study up on it. Teachers don't have to deliver it. Teachers don't have to prepare for it. It's every student just has it on their device, whether it's their phone, laptop, iPad, whatever. And then at the end of the year, we actually come back to teach high school students, usually student government, AVID, stuff like that. We teach their 20 or 30 highest level student leaders how to be extensions of the administrative team. Mm. We actually create a data-driven improvement plan with this group of high-flying students so that they can be quasi-administrators and help the administrative team out, driving these data-driven goals forward.
I love it so much. You know, one, that it's not just this motivational talk, which is important, but it's inspiration, it's dreaming plus execution, you know? And you need the two for it to really work. Otherwise, you're planting seeds and hoping that they grow, right? But if you plant the seeds and actually water it through the execution, then you know they're going to grow.
Right.
But then being able to work with these high-level kids and showing them what it takes, right, to be a leader and to I guess, increase their ownership over the school and the culture and all of that, I can only imagine just the greatness and the case studies and the stories that you have of what you've seen working with those students.
It's unbelievable. We've seen so much life change in these students. And the tragedy and the thing that keeps me up at night is that with the increase in high stakes testing and increase in the expectations, and I'll try not to get you too riled up on this.
I'm trying not to throw up right now. I know, a little bit in my mouth.
I know, brother. So it's like with all of these things that teachers have to do, their heads are popping off trying to hit these unbelievable marks and these crazy expectations that are expectations for the sake of expectations. But between that and parents having to work as much as they do, students are getting less and less positive interaction. I just watched the documentary of Fred Rogers, which between me, you, and your thousands of listeners, I might have shed a tear at, is that he was right, man. He saw it back in the 90s, is that real positive, genuine interaction is becoming a thing of the past. And with students with their devices, they're just getting less and less positive interaction. So that's what we live for at Can Do You, is to try to give these students a positive voice in their life throughout the year. And the byproduct is transformed schools and transformed data for ed leaders.
Yeah, giving students a positive voice throughout the year. That's a great mission, you know, and goal of the organization. Yeah. I'm curious, so you talk a little bit about this curriculum. You know, it seems very tech savvy and very personalized. You know, kids can work through it. And I'm curious about what some of those topics and templates might be that students can engage with.
Yeah, absolutely. So we do it in, it's sort of a chronological fashion. So for instance, we start with a video called How to See the Future, and it's all about how to create a vision for your life. Because we believe that without a vision for your life, you don't have a filter in which to make decisions through. For instance, Johnny, do you have a goal for your life? Yes, I want to be an engineer. If he has that clear vision in his mind, he's less likely then to make the decisions that are going to pull him further away from that engineer dream. So we go from creating a vision for your life, and we have really simple applications. So we're not just theory. We actually walk the students through with a brief activity that will help them to create a vision. How to hold yourself accountable and how to find friends that will hold you accountable. How to work with others within a group. I think that's something we expect of students, but nothing that we have time to actually sit and talk about group dynamics and how to work well within groups. Self-discipline, we do listening skills, we do test-taking strategies, how to pass the big test. With all of these tests, it's almost like we don't have a lot of time to talk about how to take tests. Time management, building an ideal week. These are all things that you and I know how to do, but yeah. Why not teach students how to do it when they're 13, 14, 15, 16, instead of let them learn the hard way and then figure it out when they're 28, 31, 35, you know?
Yeah, I do a lot of similar work, you know, with school leaders. So
right.
I'm definitely, you know, jamming on this topic. That's great. I know I brought you on the show because we really want to talk about communication and an influence. So from a high level, can you give us the 30,000 foot view of why communication matters?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so I'd love to talk to ed leaders about communication. And it reminds me of this, the quote of the great Deion Sanders. For those of you that are sports fans, you can't not remember Deion Sanders. But Deion Sanders, he was a really high profile, flashy athlete. People would ask him why he dresses the way he dressed. I mean, he'd be wearing like gold foil MC Hammer pants and like loud things. And so he said, if you look good, you feel good. If you feel good, you play good. If you play good, they pay good. So it's this idea that if we communicate well, we'll get positive recognition for our good communication. And then that positive recognition will help you to gain influence with the people you lead. So it all starts with really great communication, and that will gain you the respect, the recognition, and the influence. So that way you can really help move that ball down the field. That makes sense?
Oh, it absolutely makes sense, you know, and it's starting off and knowing almost the routines and rituals, like you start your day so that you feel good about those goals you have and that kind of thing, and not getting pulled in the distractions. And listeners, I hope you heard it. It was very quick, but he said, I check email twice a day. And I've talked about that on the podcast quite a bit, that for me, it's twice a day, moving to 2 30-minute blocks. I've actually moved that to twice a week for a longer block, but because nothing important happens there. You know, if it's developing relationships, I could do that via social media or picking up the phone and calling, right? Or doing a video chat. And sure, so the only things on email are basically what people need from me, maybe a lot of spammy stuff, and then the business of operating, you know, what I do. So sending out the proposals and that kind of thing, but it's not high leverage stuff. And so, yeah, I really appreciate that so very much. And in the pre-chat, you know, Jeff, you talked about three tips, right? Three tips to vastly improve your communication and influence. So what do you have for us there?
Yeah, absolutely. So these are three things. So I do mass communication a lot. I mean, I'll speak to up to 10,000 students, and I'll work with as little as 6 students in a group setting. But these are large group mass communication skills that will also transcend into our small group or our staff meeting. So for ed leaders, I'd love to break down these three things that we can do that will vastly increase our influence within, whether it's a small group meeting, an ed-based leadership team meeting, whatever it is. So the first one is this. The first one is casting vision is so important. And when I say casting vision, our brains don't like uncertainty. And people want to know where they're going. So think of it like this. If you jump into a car with somebody and you're on the highway, imagine for a little while you'd be all right if you didn't know where you were going. But after a while, you'd start to think to yourself like, okay, we're definitely going to be taking this next exit. And then shroom, past that next exit, you're like, maybe we'll be taking this next exit. And then you pass that next exit. And after a while, you're going to start to get really nervous and really unsure, and maybe even a little bit worried. And I think the same is in education when we have an ed leader that isn't casting vision as to where we're heading as an organization, as a school, as a team.
Mm. Vision, so important. People have heard me say on the podcast before, where there is no vision, people scatter, right? Yeah. And write the vision down so that those who read it will run. So I go all in on vision. That's where it all starts.
Yeah. And I forget who it was on one of the podcasts. I want to say it was either Dave Ramsey or Patrick Lencioni, but they talk about the fact that if your people can't do a good impersonation of you, then you're not doing your job communicating well enough.
Like, that makes me feel a lot better now because people have done the impersonation. I'm like, dang, but that means that they're getting it. Okay.
That means you're doing an effective job of communicating. Exactly. if we're not leading, if we're not starting the meeting with the same way, restating our goals, restating our vision, re-encouraging in the same way, casting that vision, people should be able to do a great impersonation of you. Restate the goals. I mean, hey, here at XYZ High School, we are here because this year we are going to bring XYZ High School from a C up to a B. And these are the ways that we agreed upon to do that. And when we do that, our students will learn and everybody will be that much happier. So it's just casting. It's short, sweet. It doesn't have to be this big, sweeping Martin right. Luther King, I have a dream thing every time you start a meeting. But people like to know and remember and know that you know where the ship is moving.
Yeah, yeah. And let me give everybody a practical example. So, you know, I restate vision, mission, or core values at the start of every meeting. And it's not just reading what it is. If you do that every single time, that's going to get boring. People are going to turn off their brains and turn off their ears. But so, for example, Honey Badger Spirit, that's one of my organization's core values. And there's a number of reasons why. But one of them is that honey badgers are really smart and they're able to use tools or create tools from just stuff, you know, shrubs and tree branches and all that kind of stuff around. And so basically when I'm talking to my team, I said, okay, one of our values is a honey badger spirit because honey badgers are innovative with tools. Does somebody have a tool that they've been using over the past month that's changed how they're able to be productive or has improved their quality of life? And then people share. And so that's how you can do it. You can unpack it, tell a story, frame it in a different way, but you're still reviewing what you're all about.
I love that. I love that. That's really good. And I think that's something that we know, and we know to do that. Intuitively, we know to do these things. It's just sometimes we need to be reminded, man. So that's why I love why you do what you do.
Thanks. Yeah, the reminder and the structure. So besides our vision, what else is there?
Absolutely. So the second one is this. It's building tension at the beginning of meetings and trainings. Let me give you an example of this. Let's say we're watching a Marvel movie, and like with all the superheroes and stuff like that. And so at the beginning of movies, usually what writers do is they'll introduce the characters. Even if they think you should be familiar with them, they will reintroduce the character. So after that, almost immediately, what you do is you find out that main character has a problem. Let's say that the alien space invaders have come to New York, and we're introduced to that almost immediately. Mm-hmm. And I think that you and I have probably both watched a movie where we've gotten to a certain point and we've said to ourselves, this movie isn't really going anywhere. Well, that's because the writer has failed to illustrate the problem fast enough. The reason why people watch movies, watch TVs, watch shows, listen to podcasts is because they have identified a problem and they're waiting to see the main character solve it. And so us as leaders, us as communicators, we need to do the same thing. A lot of times we just come into a meeting and we just say, hi, and then we'll have maybe our reading coach just jump right into some strategies that we're going to do a walkthrough on in a week. But what if we built tension and we gave our staff a compelling reason to listen and to take notes? Maybe something like, hey, everybody, we're here to talk about high retention strategies with reading. And so you might be saying to yourself, why is this important? Well, I think a lot of us, whether we're in the reading world or the math world, we're finding that our students are having such a hard time comprehending. So how can we expect our students to pass our classes, to have a high enough GPA to graduate, to go on to be successful enough people? We can't expect our students to have the tools to succeed and the credentials to succeed without having these high retention reading strategies. Can you imagine what it will be like when our students are really awesome readers and they can then succeed in whether it's biology or math or social studies? That's why today's training is important. So building tension at the beginning of that meeting or talking about the big problem that exists, our students are, we have 45% level two readers in our building, and that's not okay with us here at XYZ High School. So today we're going to talk about reading strategies. Just by building that tension, you're going to have people's ears perk up and you're going to refresh that. People know that there's a problem, but if you don't remind them of the problem, they're going to be less likely to want to listen to the solution. That makes sense?
Yes. And I'm going to put this into practice right now and implement it and build some tension for the podcast. So we just got two of the three tips Jeff has for you to vastly improve your communication and influence. And stick around, because after this quick message from our sponsors, we'll get into the third tip. Organized Binder is a proven education success platform. Case studies show it develops the skills and habits students need for success. Organized Binder provides teacher a common structure and language for daily and unit planning without interfering with the teacher's individual style. With Organized Binder, parents gain a clear picture of what their student is learning and how to best support them. Organized Binder equips school leaders with a universal solution to unify and build positive school culture. Visit OrganizedBinder.com to learn how this education success platform supports students, teachers, and parents. All right, we're back with Jeff Becker, and we've been talking so much great stuff about how he helps students reach their goals and gives them a positive voice throughout the year, why communication matters. We've gone over two tips to vastly improve your communication and influence, including vision and tension. Now we're back. We're going to get the third tip. But before we get there, Jeff, how'd I do with building tension a bit in the podcast?
I love that, man. I was on the edge of my seat.
You were wondering, you're like, man, I hope I remember this third tip.
I had that ominous organ music playing in my head. Bom, bom, bom.
Yeah, we need to find some of that for the show.
I love that, man.
Cool. But let's get to it. What is that third tip you have for the listener?
I love that. And so the third one is this. And again, the tips that I'm giving you, I'm not giving you this silver bullet that you've never heard of before in life. I'm just reminding you and kind of putting language to it. So that third tip is to be intentional. Prepare something about your meeting. And while that seems so simple, it's so impactful. So we can't miss this as ed leaders, is that sometimes as principals, I mean, we know that the animal of the principal is super busy. Sometimes staff can tell when we just fly in from our chaotic day unprepared to address us. I mean, I've had principals and I've seen principals and worked for principals that have visibly even asked their assistant principals, hey, what are we doing in this meeting again? Or they introduced the wrong person for the wrong meeting topic, or they don't have their PowerPoint prepared and they're fumbling with that. Just like students can sniff a substitute teacher out, I think staff can sniff out when us as ed leaders aren't prepared. And what this does is, I think this communicates a lot of things to your staff. One, I think it communicates that as an ed leader, you're not prioritizing them. As an ed leader, even if you are prioritizing them, just by not knowing what you're talking about at that meeting, or not having a vision that you're ready to strategically cast, or just, you know, people are smart. They know when you're not really prepared for a meeting. It can also communicate that things must be really out of control if my leader can't prioritize what today's 30-minute meeting is going to be about.
Yeah, I've seen all the same things too. And yeah, you're leaving so much on the table, you know, like
right.
There's just so much potential and opportunity in every organization. And if you can't bring it just with the very basic foundational prep to unleash that creativity and potential and opportunity, you're missing it. And as a result, I think the organization atrophies and the passion's not there. And a lot of leaders are scratching their head like, you know, and they point the finger at the people. Why won't they do this? Or, you know what I mean? But really you need to have a mirror moment.
Right.
And the culture that's there is a reflection of what you've built. You know, you do inherit it at first and it takes some time to change it. But if you're an established leader, that's your ship. And you have to ask, like, why are we floating or why are we sinking instead of cruising, you know?
Right. And arguably it would be, I don't think that's the actual problem. I think that's a symptom of the problem.
Mm.
What things are we planning and prioritizing higher than preparing for our staff? I think you would agree that as ed leaders, we have to see ourselves sometimes as the employees of our staff. If we're taking a true servant leadership approach to this, which I think there's a large argument for, then I think that, and I get it, the day can really get away from us. You know, you never know what's going to happen, whether it's some kind of student crisis or you have parents coming in and your day can just completely go sideways. But 9 times out of 10, I believe that we can just take 5 minutes, take a deep breath, find some quiet time, ask the secretary to hold the calls for 5 minutes. If we can just block out or carve out 5 minutes to prepare something, I think that could go a really long way with the people that we've been trusted to lead.
I love that, the idea of the symptoms. I'm really glad you brought that up in the, not the lack of priorities necessarily, but what are you prioritizing over the preparation?
Right.
And leaders, listeners, listen, you can find the 5 minutes, and that's the idea of getting 1% better. You may feel like, oh, I have to change all this stuff to be able to do what Jeff and Danny are talking about. It's not true. If you can block off, you can block off. Just do it. 5 minutes to hit the pause button to really think deeply about your objective for that coming meeting, you know? And there's a coaching session I do about how you want to show up and visualizing the day. How do you want that meeting to go? And how do you need to be in terms of your energy level or how you interact with folks? Or if you know it's going to be a bit volatile and there might be a conflict, how are you going to handle that? 5 minutes is all it takes. And that's getting 1% better. And that exponentially improves your leadership and communication probably throughout, you know, your leadership career.
Right. I think that goes a long way with trust. I think you're all over it, Danny.
Nice. Well, Jeff, what's one book, video, tool, or other resource that's really impacted your leadership, productivity, or quality of life in the last 90 days?
Yeah, that's phenomenal. And so what I'm learning in this season of my life is that sometimes I can oversaturate myself with learning.
Yeah.
I'm a very hungry learner. I love learning. I think that it feeds my competitive nature, but I'm going back to the basics and I'm finding that, oh my gosh, with all of these super crazy second level metrics that I'm looking into and all of this, that sometimes I can get away from the basics, and sometimes it's the basics that are the most impactful. So I just reread John Maxwell's Developing the Leader Within You. It is just gold. It's like the most basic level, easy to understand, super applicable leadership stuff that I think a lot of times in a busy world, we can get away from. So I would say that if I had to go with my gut reaction, it's Developing the Leader Within You, John Maxwell. It's phenomenal.
Awesome. And we will link that up for the listeners in the show notes. If you haven't read it, go ahead and check that out. Jeff, what message would you put on all school marquees across the globe if you could do so for just one day?
Whoo, that's a good one. I really like that. Let's go with be a good neighbor. Like I said, I just got done with the Fred Rogers documentary, and I never even thought of that. Growing up in the 80s, it was the title of a show that I watched all the time growing up, but I never really thought too much about what it meant. But it was just, being a good neighbor isn't just like being somebody nice that would bring the newspaper into the house if you saw it getting rained on in your neighbor's driveway. But I think it transcends that. It's like just
looking out for somebody rather than just yourself, or serving somebody else's interests rather than just your own, or being there for somebody when they need you. And I think just being a good neighbor, being somebody that's there for you, that's dependable, that cares about you, that you can rely on. I think that's huge, man. So be a good neighbor. That's what I think I'd put on every marquee.
Jeff, you made it to the end of the podcast. You've been a fantastic guest. And this question's a big one. I can't wait to hear your answer. You're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by any resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you build your dream school? And what would be your top three priorities?
Yeah, absolutely. Top three priorities would be hiring people that visibly love students. I've worked in a lot of schools where we've had some phenomenal teachers that haven't loved students, and that comes out in the wash. And on the flip side of that, I've worked with people that are inexperienced teachers. I just met one this year. His name is Mr. Corey. And Mr. Corey, he knows nothing about teaching, but he loves students and he's killing it. So hiring people that visibly love students and then training them up if necessary. Two is professional development, quality professional development, things that are actually super applicable and not driven by the agendas of people like big testing or big government. The third thing would be project-based learning. I think that's so essential, and that we can get so caught up in just checking the boxes of knowing all these theories that we may or may not ever use in life. I think project-based learning, there are so many things that you'll never even be able to plan for that students will learn as a result of just basic problem solving. Your buddy Jethro Jones is doing some really cool stuff in Alaska. I was there probably about 2 months ago, and the things that he's doing with his students, it's just so simple yet so impactful. Is let the students identify a problem, put them in a room, and tell them, I'm here for you, but it's your job to figure out and solve this problem.
Yeah.
So much comes out of that.
That's so good. I appreciate it. And shout out to Jethro Jones. If you guys don't know him, he's a good friend of mine. We do Tuesday Q&A videos, and then he has the Transformative Principle podcast. Well, Jeff, you've been awesome. Thanks so much for being a guest on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, absolutely. If you have any need for my services, or you just want to chat and talk leadership or pick my brain, you can go to, you can email me at jeff@candoyou.us. That's C-A-N-D-O, and then the letter U, .us. Or check out the website. If you're looking to create an awesome school culture, let us help you. It's what we do, and it's what we love to do, and we pride ourselves in being pretty good at it. So that's candoyou.us. That's C-A-N-D-O, the letter U.us.
Well, thanks again for being on the show.
I love it, man. It's an honor being on it. You do an amazing job, and I'm thankful that our paths crossed, brother.
All right, Better Leaders, just a few more things before you take off. I created a new resource for you called The 3 Leadership Questions I Ask Every Day. You can download the resource by visiting betterleadersbetterschools.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. This helps me in a few ways. It gives the show some social proof. It encourages new people to listen to the show, and it improves the ranking of the show and therefore helps me serve more school leaders. If you want extra credit and some good vibes, share your biggest takeaway from the show and tag me on Twitter and Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer, and make sure to use the hashtag BLBS. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Join over 3,000 school leaders that get this resource delivered every week. In the weekend resource, I share content curated specifically for school leaders. You'll get articles, videos, templates and exercises, coaching tips, inspirational quotes, invitations to free Friday group coaching, which is an exclusive offer made available only to newsletter subscribers in the Better Leaders, Better Schools tribe, and links to all the content I created for you this past week. You can subscribe at betterleadersbetterschools.com/weekend-resource. And remember, life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader.